Brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Multimedia Department of Markazi Anjuman Quddamul Quran, Lahore, Pakistan presents a speech of Dr. Israr Ahmed, the founder of Markazi Anjuman Quddamul Quran, Lahore and Tanzeem Islami, on the topic of faith. Now please listen to the speech.
الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة الحجرات أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم وإن تطيعوا الله ورسوله لا يلتكم من أعمالكم شيئا إن الله غفور رحيم إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله أولئك هم الصادقون فقال عز وجل كما ورد في سورة الصف يا أيها الذين آمنوا هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا وأعصمنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم ربنا نذر قلوبنا بالإيمان واشرح صدورنا بالإسلام ووفقنا لجاهد في سبيلك بأموالنا وأنفسنا وارزقنا شهادة في سبيلك آمين يا رب العالمين Before proceeding further to a discussion regarding the relationship between Iman and Jihad في سبيل الله and the relationship between Iman and Amr that is the inner peace and tranquility of man. Let us review the previous lesson in another way. That is the relationship and the difference between Iman and Islam, which is a very important and tricky subject, and it's the irony of fate. It has been equally ignored. Now I have to make 5 points today. First of all, Iman and Islam, and Mu'min and Muslim. These words are mostly used in the Quran as synonyms, having the same meaning. Why? Because Iman is within the heart, Islam is the external manifestation of that Iman. Now in a normal person, normal and healthy person, if both these things are present, Iman within Islam in the external behavior, then we may call him Mu'min or Muslim, it makes no difference. Call the rose by any name, it will smell as sweet. So mostly these two words are used as synonyms. Point number two. Nevertheless, there is a difference between Islam and Iman. And let me make 2 points here. What are the proofs? But are the arguments that they have different connotations. Number one is the general principle that no two words of a language can have the exactly same connotation. The words are coined on the basis of a need to express something. They may be very close to each other, they may be very similar to each other, but they cannot have exactly the same connotation. There can be no example in any two words of a language, any language. This is the general principle. And secondly, we have the proof from the Quran, because in the ayah number 14 of Surah Al-Hujurat, which I have just recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rejecting the claim of iman of the Bedouins, some of the Bedouins, but accepting them as Muslims. قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم. These Bedouins are claiming that they have come to believe. Tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have not at all come to believe. Don't be mistaken. You have not become Muslims. All you may say is that you have become Muslims. ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم. You need to emphasize more. Till this time, iman has not entered your hearts. So, rejecting the claim to be Muslim, accepting them to be Muslim, what does it mean? That they have some different connotations. Now let me add here, there are two other pairs of Islamic terms which have the same, you know, relationship. And this relationship, our ulama have denoted by the words aam and khas. Something general and something particular. Islam is aam. Iman is khas. What does it mean? Every mu'min must necessarily be a Muslim. But every Muslim is not necessarily a mu'min. Is it clear? The same is the relationship between Nabi and Rasul. Nabi is aam, general. Rasul is particular, khas. What does it mean? Every Rasul was a Nabi also, necessarily. But every Nabi was not a Rasul. The same relationship exists between jihad and qital. Jihad fi sabilillah, qital fi sabilillah. Jihad fi sabilillah is general. Qital fi sabilillah is particular. Qital is jihad fi sabilillah, but every jihad is not qital fi sabilillah. And let me quote here, for those who want more understanding and knowledge, there's a principle, a formula coined by some of the well-known ulama, إِذَا تَفَرَّقَ اِجْتَمَعَ وَإِذَا اِجْتَمَعَ تَفَرَّقَ. The two words of these three pairs, when they are used separately, they have the same meaning. But when they come at one place, they have different meaning. Iman and Islam being used in the Quran in different places, Mu'min and Muslim, they will have the same meaning. But here we find, قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُلُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. At one place, both have been mentioned. Here, تَفَرَّقَ. They are different. Point number three. To have a very clear idea of what is the difference between Islam and Iman. You just imagine, you know, Iman divided into two parts. Number one, legal Iman. Here, real Islam. This legal Islam based on Shahada. Iqrar bil lisan, verbal attestation. This real iman is the tasdeeq bil qalb. That is the yaqeen fil qalb. That is the conviction in the heart. At the level of legal iman, iman and amal are separate entities. At the level of real iman, they become one organic whole. Amal becomes integral part of Iman. This legal iman is the basis of Islam, and it becomes the basis of the legal structure of Islam, the social order of Islam, the constitution of a Muslim state. But all these three things are in this world. This Islam, a legal iman, is creditable only in this world. And on the day of judgment, and in the hereafter, the real iman, judgments will be accordingly and based on the real. Only the real iman will be creditable. It might be more, it might be less. That's a different question. That's the quantitative side of this issue. But there must be essentially this real iman in the heart. If, you know, now what is the corollary? Maybe there is a person who is acknowledged in this world as a Muslim, rather the greatest leader of the Muslims. But maybe on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he sees to the hearts of the people, and if he doesn't have real iman, this legal status of his in this world, being the leader of the Muslims, will be of no use on the day of judgment. Will give him no credit on the day of judgment. If the heart was devoid of the real iman, he will be thrown in the fire of hell. So these, you know, you can tabulate these things. And one by one. And I, as I told, at this legal iman level, whatever Imam Abu Hanifa has said is 100% correct. And at the level of real iman, whatever Imam Bukhari rahimahullah has said is 100% correct. Now let me come to the fourth point. Because I told you this is very important, very tricky subject, and equally ignored. Now imagine, there is a circle, a small circle. Then outside that small circle, there is a bigger circle. Two concentric circles, one small, the other large. This inner circle, small circle, indicates iman. The outer circle, it indicates Islam. And beyond this circle is kufr. So you have now three. Inner circle, iman. Outer circle, Islam. And then beyond that, kufr. Now what is the position of Khawarij that I told you? If any Muslim commits a major sin, he is out of the circle of iman, out of the circle of Islam, he plunges into kufr. Directly. Wrong. Biggest mistake, biggest blunder, made in the very early days of Islam. You know, the Khawarij started in the days of the Caliphate of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. The biggest blunder. What is the position of the Mu'tazila and Ahlul Tashayyu? If somebody commits a major sin, is out of iman, out of Islam, but doesn't go to kufr, he is somewhere in between. Not acceptable. There is no man's land between iman and kufr, between Islam and kufr. The logical stand. Now the stand of the fuqaha and muhaddithin, as I explained yesterday, is very similar to each other. Very close to each other. And this is correct. Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim both. If you know, compare, there is, you know, some difference of interpretation. But basically they are both correct. But you know, to a common man today, it becomes very difficult to understand. The easiest way to understand is that if a person commits a major sin, or a sin for that matter, although the positions of the muhaddithin and fuqaha are very close to each other, and both are correct, but it becomes quite difficult to understand. The easiest way to understand is that whosoever commits a sin goes out of the circle of iman, but remains within the circle of Islam. Is that kafir? Even this sin may be major. Kabair. Is it a Muslim? myself to you people. As you know, there is a hadith. I couldn't find, you know, the reference today because I don't have all the books here with me. The hadith says, this is the essence of the hadith, that when a Muslim commits a sin, iman gets out of his heart. But you know, it keeps encircling over his head like a bird flying round. Keeps encircling. If he repents, if he makes tawbah, it returns, again enters the heart. If he doesn't, it goes away. But what goes away is the real iman of the heart, not the legal iman of Islam. He was a Muslim before committing the sin. He was a Muslim during the commitment of that sin. And he remains a Muslim even after the commitment of that sin. Legally, he remains a Muslim. The thing is very easy. And all the ahadith, now they explain, explain very easily. La yajni zani hina yajni wa huwa mu'min. Yes. He's not mu'min at his heart. But he is a Muslim. But I just said, Usarikudina, I just said, Allah, you know, that he's committing theft. He's not a Muslim at that time. The real iman has gone out. But he remains a Muslim. He may cut his hands, but he remains a Muslim. If he committed zina, adultery, if he was married, you stole into that, but he remains a Muslim. You'll have to pray for his sinning. So the ahadith, you know, are absolutely clear. And there is no controversy. Because legally he remains a Muslim. The final point now regarding this issue. And that is another way of expressing these things. Now you imagine there is, you know, basic division, legal division between men, human beings in this world, legal level, only two type of men and women. Either he or she is a Muslim, or he or she is a non-Muslim. At legal level, there's no third entity. Either Muslim or non-Muslim. No third entity. But now, one who is a Muslim, legally, he can have three conditions internally. Either he has positively iman, or he has negatively nifaq. Either he's a mu'min or a munafiq. And there is a zero point also between the plus values and the minus values. He might be only a Muslim without iman, neither a mu'min nor a munafiq. This is very important. You can, you know, in the graph, you have in the center zero. To the right you go to plus 1, plus 2, plus 3, plus 4, plus 5, plus 6, and you go to plus infinity. These are the plus values of iman. Plus 1 to plus infinity, the iman of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but infinite. To the left side you have minus values, minus 1, minus 2, minus 3, minus 4, minus 5, minus infinity. These are the values of nifaq. A man might have nifaq, but very little nifaq. But he can be the Rais al-Munafiqeen, Abdullah ibn Ubay. Alayh ma alayh. But in between the two, always, between the plus and the minus values, there is a zero point. Neither iman nor nifaq. And that is actually the position in the ayah number 14. Of Surah Al-Fajrat. قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم وإن تطيعوا الله ورسوله لا يلتكم من أعمالكم شيئا. These Bedouins are claiming that they have become mu'min. Tell them, O Muhammad, you have not at all become mu'min, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or you can say, you are Muslims. But if you continue obeying Allah and His Messenger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not deprive you of the rewards of your deeds. Now we know that the munafiq cannot be given the reward of any of his deeds. What does it mean? They are not munafiqin. This ayah is very important as well as very difficult. Some of our mufassirin have said that they are munafiq. Some say, no, they were not munafiq. Only they had just entered Islam and Iman had not as yet entered their heart, but they were not munafiq. I agree with them, and let me quote here Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, because I agree with him 100%. And he says in his Kitab al-Iman, وَقَدْ أَثْبَتَ اللَّهُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ إِسْلَامًا بِلَا إِيمَانٍ بِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَىٰ قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has acknowledged Islam without Iman in this ayah. So it is very important, because some of those zealous and, you know, emotional type of Muslims, they tend to say, they tend to believe that because today most of the Muslims don't have real Iman, and it is 100% correct. Because the Quran says, "Antumul a'lana in kuntum mu'minin." You will dominate. You will be supreme if you are mu'min, and we are not dominating. We are put to extreme humiliation. So we are not mu'min. Two and two go to make four. There's no other possibility. We are not mu'min. Maybe there are some 0.001% mu'minin. Actually, the most of the Muslims of today are not mu'mins, but don't think they are munafiqin. Some people tend to believe and they say they are all munafiq. No. Most of the Muslims are not munafiqs. They are neither mu'mins nor munafiqs. But in between we are standing, most of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the positive Iman. But most of the Muslims today, they are at the same level. They are at the same level as those Bedouins of the days of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about whom Allah said, قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ عَامَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَاكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَإِنْ تُطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَا يَلِدْكُمْ مِنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ شَيْئًا. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah is Ghafoor. And He is Raheem. He is forgiving. The forgiving. And the merciful. It's out of His forgiveness and His mercy that He accepts your Islam without Iman also. But if you continue obeying, but there is a warning also. This obedience has to be total, not partial. Partial obedience is no obedience at all. It's rather the mockery of obedience. You obey one order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this will be the other. What does it mean? The command which you are obeying and complying with, it is because your nafs, you know, has accepted it. And the command that you are rejecting and disobeying, why? Because your nafs doesn't agree to it. In both ways you are accepting and obeying your nafs, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are obeying Allah, then you have to obey all of His commands. And there is a very stern warning in the Quran. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you accept part of our book, our law, our Sharia, and reject the other part? فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. There can be no punishment for those who take to this attitude of accepting the part of the book of Allah, part of the Sharia, rejecting the other part. إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Except that they should be put to extreme humiliation in this world. يوم القيامة يردون إلى أشد العذاب, and on the day of judgment they will be thrown in the worst of the punishments. وَمَنْ لَهُ بِغَافِلٍ أَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unaware of what you are doing. Don't think you can deceive him. So the obedience has to be total. No partial obedience, please. This much about, you know, the difference between Islam and Iman. Now we come to the eighth topic of our discussion on this Iman, and that is the relationship between Iman and Jihad. I'm referring to the same two ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat. In ayah number 14, which we have now discussed fully, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a clear distinction, differentiation between Muslim and Mu'min. Naturally, logically, there appears a question in the mind, and who is a true Mu'min? We want to be true Mu'min. We want to be accepted true Mu'min on the day of judgment. We should be told, who is a true Mu'min? What's the comprehensive definition of a Mu'min? So this is the logical sequence in Quran. The next ayah, ayah number 15, gives a comprehensive definition of who is a Mu'min. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Now you know, a comprehensive definition of something should be, this includes all the necessary parts of that thing, or that concept, and exclude everything else. This we call in mantiq, in logic, jami' and mani'. It should have all the, it should collect all the necessary elements of that concept. But it should not let any foreign element come into it. Mani'. Mana yamna, you know, to keep it away. So this ayah is the most comprehensive definition of who is a mu'min. That is why it is starting with innama. It is kalimatul hasr. What's the difference? When you say Zaid is a knowledgeable person, and you say Zaid is the only knowledgeable person, you know the difference? Zaid alim hai in Urdu, and Zaid hi alim hai. This is hasr. In the first sentence, you say Zaid is alim, and others can be alim also. But now when you added the word he, you excluded any other person. None else is alim. So innama is hasr. Ulaika humu sadiqun. Only they are the truthful. Only they are true if they claim that they are mu'min. Again, hasr. The mu'mins are only those, and only they are the truthful. The ayah is ending and beginning with hasr. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. The true mu'mins are only those who believe in Allah and His Messenger and then doubt not. This iman has reached the level of conviction, free from all doubts. That is the real iman within the heart, the conviction. And then the second necessary prerequisite, pre-qualification for a mu'min is وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and then they made jihad for the cause of Allah, in the way of Allah, with their lives, bodies and belongings. What does it mean? Jihad fi sabilillah is a necessary condition, integral part of Iman. And let me say, if there is real Iman, there will be Jihad. And the only thing that can prove from the action side that the person has Iman, real Iman, is Jihad. So these are the two necessary pillars of Iman. Now, let me give another example. I narrated the ayat, two ayat, again from Surah As-Saff. Number 10 and 11. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ O you who believe, or O you who profess to believe, the legal Iman, the people who are being addressed are those who have legal Iman, they are Muslims. هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ Should I lead you, should I tell you the bargain which will save you from the severe punishment, the painful punishment, meaning thereby the punishment of hell, the fire of hell in the hereafter. Please again understand the question. It's a very natural way of education. Ask questions. So that the minds are alive. They become attentive. The minds start working themselves. And then you give the reply. It's a very natural way of education. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ Oh, who you profess to believe? Should I lead you? Should I tell you? The bargain, the trade. A very simple word is used here. Because you know, in every trade, every business, you have two necessary elements, investment and work, labor. There can be no trade, no industry, nothing without these two necessary elements. And they will be reflected in the answer also. Should I lead you, should I tell you the trade or the bargain which will save you from the severe punishment? تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ Have real faith. Now you have to add the word real, because people who were addressed were also Muslims. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا That means, who were addressed were the legal Muslims, the Muslims, and now they are being asked to have real faith, real Iman. تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ And you made jihad in the way of Allah, for the cause of Allah. With your money, your wealth, your belongings, and your own body, your nafs, your own life. The same two things, which are necessary for any worldly profession, worldly trade, worldly business. Capital, money, small or big. Then labor, work. The skilled labor, the unskilled labor. But these two things only can go to make some business, some bargain. You can earn something here. The same way, if you want to be safe from the punishment of the fire of hell in the hereafter, you have to invest your money, your wealth, your belongings, your bodily capabilities, your intelligence, your capability of working. And if there is necessary, even giving away your life for the cause of jihad. ذَٰلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ This is better for you. At the face of it, it appears to be a bargain entailing loss. Why? You have to give away everything here. And the price you are going to get in the hereafter, not here. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased from all the mu'mins their lives as well as their belongings in exchange for Jannah. And Jannah you will have in the hereafter, not here. And you have to spend everything here. Your energy, your time, your money, your capital, your belongings. And if there is need, even your life. But if you have the real knowledge, then you will know that this is good for you, this is profitable, this is beneficial. Now what's the inevitable logical conclusion? You cannot hope of salvation, you cannot hope to be spared from the fire of hell without jihad fi sabilillah. Such an important thing. And in the same way, as we have ignored, you know, the subject of iman, we have also ignored what is jihad. There are very great misconceptions about jihad. I propose to have two full sessions on this subject. The meaning of jihad and the stages of jihad. In the same way as I am speaking about iman, what is the literal meaning of the word jihad? What's the technical definition of jihad? What are the stages of jihad? What are the preconditions and prerequisites of every stage of jihad? So we'll be speaking, inshallah, about all these things in next week. But suffice here to say, in brief, here also, in this discussion of iman, I want to include, you know, a little portion of that. To be very brief, what is jihad? Jihad means struggle for some cause against the obstacles and obstructions and the opposing forces. You have a cause before you. You want to accomplish it. Proceed towards it. There are obstacles, hindrances, obstructions, opposing forces, resistance. To struggle against these obstructions, obstacles, against this resistance, against this opposing forces, this is jihad. Now, we are talking about the real iman now, not the iman, the verbal attestation we all have already, that we have due to our birth. We are born of Muslim parents, so we are Muslims. Now you visualize, real iman when it enters the heart of a person and is established there, immediately a conflict and a confrontation starts within his own personality. What is it? Now in the heart you have iman. What does it mean? You believe in the existence of Allah. You believe He is seeing you. You are in His eyes. You can't hide from Him. You believe you have to return to Him one day. You believe you will have to present your account of whatever you have done here. You believe there is going to be reward, either good reward or punishment. There will be no place to run away. No corner to hide. Nothing of the sort. No power to protect. And then you know this is halal and this is haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have accepted all His commands. وَقَبِلْتُ جَمِيَ أَحْكَامِهِ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ كَمَاهُ وَبِأَسْمَاهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَقَبِلْتُ جَمِيَ أَحْكَامِهِ. This is in the heart. And now from the lower levels of your existence and your personality, there are coming storms, cyclones, or what? In the words of pride, the id and libido. In the words of Quran, the nafs ammara, inna nafsa la ammara tum bisu. The animal instincts, what are the basic animal instincts? Preservation of the self, preservation of the species. You read through, you have the sexual desire, the sexual urge. And all these animal instincts are blind. They don't know what is halal, what is haram. They want their sensual gratification, that's all. Satisfaction. We don't want, we don't know what is halal, what is haram. This urge has to be satisfied. Then, added to these, there are the carnal desires and lusts. The sexual urge, you know, in animals remains within certain limits. But in man, you know, the limits to which it goes. Then the lust of wealth, the lust of power. In the words of Adler, the urge to dominate. These are the storms coming from the lower level of your existence. Because even five, you know, he identified three levels of human personality. The id or libido, lowest. Then the ego, and then the superego. He is 100% correct about the id or libido. That is, then doesn't know about what is ego and what is superego. But I give him the credit that he identified three levels. This is a big achievement, no doubt. A person who is not seen with the light of the Quran, even if he was able to observe these three levels, and he admitted there is conflict between them, ego wants to suppress these desires and lusts. And these desires and lusts want their full satisfaction and gratification. So this is the conflict between evil and good. Within your own personality, I don't see what is happening within you, and you don't see what is happening within me. But each one of us knows it is going on all the time. This conflict, this confrontation is going on and on. As Ghalib said, Uma mujhe roke hai to kheche hai mujhe kufr. Kaaba mere peeche hai, kaleesa mere aage. I'm being torn. My personality is being torn. Opposite pulled. There's the pull of the divine spark, of the Ruh Rabbani. It wants us to go higher and higher up, seek the proximity and pleasure of Allah. And this id and libido, the carnal desires, and you know, the animal instinct, they are pulling us down. So the first and the foremost jihad, as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mujahidu man jahada nafsahu. The real mujahid is he who can make jihad against his own nafs, control them. He was asked a question, direct question. Ayyul jihad afzalu ya Rasulullah? Which jihad is supreme, most important, afzal? The answer was, antujahida nafsaka fi ta'atillah. Struggle against your id or libido, your animal instincts, your carnal desires, control them. As Quran says, amma man khafa maqama rabbihi wa nahan nafsa anil hawa. Whosoever fears, trembles at the very thought that he will have to stand before his Lord one day, he will be answerable, accountable. And then he pulls the reins of his nafs, his id, and libido. Control it. I told you last evening, and I want to add one point to that. I told you, this real battle between evil and good is going on between the two levels of our own personality, within our own selves. Then, you know, there are abetting and helping agencies or forces, and some of these are invisible, some are visible. Invisible, the shayateen will jinn. They excite your instincts, your id, your libido. Excite them. There are the angels. They support you. Go ahead. Do good deeds. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ لَا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. Both these agencies, they are invisible. Malaika as well as the jinn. Shayateen is jinn. And then, here are the malaika. Then there are visible human callers to the wrong path, the callers to the right path. People calling you to go astray, they are the shayateen al-ins. It's that is why, you know, in the last surah of the Quran, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يَوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. The khannas and the shayateen, they are among the jinns also and among the men also. Then there are the callers who are calling you to the right path. The prophets. And you know, whosoever has taken upon himself the same mission that the prophets had. Kal ulama wa rasatul anbiya. But if they are real alims, not businessmen in knowledge, not dealers in knowledge, not professional, real alim. They are the rasatul anbiya. They are doing the same mission. So keep this mind, keep this in mind. Real evil, real force of evil is within you. Abetting it is the shayateen al-jinn from the invisible side and people who are calling you to go astray in, at the human level also, visible. The real good is within you. That is your nafs al-lamma. That's your ruh al-malakuti. That's your ruh al-rabbani wa nafaktu fiya bil ruhi. And supporting it are the angels, the invisible ones. And again, among men you have people who support you, who help you, who show you the right path, who call you to the right path. Now coming to the jihad. After, you know, this iman entered the heart and was established there, this conflict within the personality started. But this doesn't end there. Now you have a society around you. It has its own norms, its own values, its own traditions, its own pressures. If the society is a reformed Islamic society, there is not going to be any conflict. But if the society is on the wrong path, it has wrong values, there is a conflict between you and the society around you. Even your own relatives, closest relatives. That is why Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًّا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. This is ayah number 14 of Surah At-Taghabun. O you who believe, be warned, be alert. From amongst your own wives and your own children, there are enemies for you. Because their natural love that you have in your heart, they can use that love, that instinct of yours, they can manipulate it as a lever to take you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just a red signal. Remember this ayah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًّا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. There are enemies, hidden enemies. They think they love you and you love them. But there is a potential danger below of it. Then you have wrong ideologies, wrong philosophies, wrong aqaid. There must be a conflict. So jihad is going on. And last of all, over all political, social, economic system, if it is unjust, if it is repressive, if it is exploitative, if it is based on the principle of popular sovereignty, it means it is in revolt against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because sovereignty belongs to Him and Him alone. You have to fight it out. That will be the topmost level of jihad. So four jihads I told you. Beginning from within your personality and going up to the overall political, socio-economic system prevailing in the land where you dwell, where you are living. You have to make jihad against your own id or libido. Make jihad against the social pressures. Make jihad against the wrong ideologies, wrong philosophies, wrong notions, wrong dogmas. You have to make jihad against the wrong
exploitative, repressive, suppressive, discriminative, social, political order, the political, social, economic system. So can there be a moment in the life of a mu'min without jihad? This jihad is going on all the time, every moment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the real concept of iman and the real concept of jihad, and may He give us the courage to make real jihad in our lives. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.
Dear brothers and sisters, please note our contact for audio and video speeches of Dr. Sar Ahmad. Maktaba Khuddamul Quran, Quran Academy, 36K Model Town, Lahore, Pakistan. Phone 9242-586-9501, 586-9502, and 586-9503. Our fax is 583-4000. You can send your emails on info@tanzeem.org. May Allah bless us with the understanding of Islam and give us the courage to act upon it. Ameen.